This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 111, Understanding the Chakras. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. It's beautiful to be with you. As this podcast is landing in your podcast feed, it is officially summer around the Johnson house. The kids are out of school. We're celebrating. We're enjoying being with one another. Summertime, I think, is magic. It's something that just carries over from when I was a kiddo. And just that possibility unfolding of 2.5 to 3 months of nothing. And nowadays, we fill it with so much stuff and so many activities. But I love that feeling of nothing, that space creation where there's ether element high and you're able to just really move into a space of possibility and anything can happen. I feel that way on special days, like on my birthday. I feel like anything could happen today. Usually nothing does, but I always feel that anything could happen. It's like magic. And I think so much of that comes from just the emotions and thoughts that we're having about what's coming or what could be coming. And I've been thinking again so much about the subtle body, how much that affects what's going on in our physical space. So I thought that was a really good topic for today to talk about the chakras, because there is so much that we can understand and they can be a little bit confusing. So I wanted to take today's episode as an opportunity to just unfold how we view the chakras from an Ayurvedic standpoint and help you to start to see how prana works within the chakras. We won't go into other topics just because it is such a broad and wide subject, but we're going to really focus in on what are the chakras. We'll use some future episodes to get into the specifics of each chakra itself. The chakras themselves are energy centers. We often think of them in a visual way as a wheel that is spinning. You also hear them described as something that looks like a lotus or a wheel or a rotating funnel. Because we can't see things that are happening on a subtle level with our physical eyes, we understand that the form that a chakra takes within our own imaginations or our own minds are based upon something that we're familiar with, that we're comfortable with, and we can relate to. So if one person who is able to see energy fields sees the chakras as a spinning wheel, another person sees them as a lotus, another person sees them as a funnel, they're all totally right. It just means that that's what they can relate with, and we tend to create things in a subtle way that we're comfortable with from our physical self as well. So the chakras are very subtle. They're energy centers. They have a really high frequency and they exist within the subtle body. I've done a few episodes about the subtle body. So if that's something you're interested in, you can go back and listen to some old episodes. But the subtle body is that energetic template of the physical body. It's made up of the chakras and the nadis, which are the energy channels or centers of the body. The main energy channels that we're typically most familiar with are the Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna Nadi. So these are the channels that run up along the spine. The Sushumna Nadi particularly runs up the center of the spine. The Ida and the Pingala wind around the spine. It's where we get that medical staff that looks like the serpent that's winding up the staff. That comes from this idea of the chakras. So that's a visual way that you can interpret where the energy moves up the body. Then along that Sushumna Nadi are the main chakras. Now we have thousands of chakras throughout our bodies, but we focus on these 7 main chakras simply because they are along that main Sushumna energy line. Starting at the base of our spine, we have the Muladhara chakra or the root chakra. Next is the Svadhisthana chakra or the sacral chakra. We move up into Manipura or solar plexus. Anahata is the heart chakra. Vishuddha is the throat chakra. Ajna is the brow chakra, and Sahasrara is the crown chakra, so right on the top of the head, kind of reaching up towards heaven. As we work through these energy centers, we're able to align ourselves more closely with heightened prana, and eventually that kundalini energy rises. If that's something that's new to you, we're not going to talk about kundalini too much today, but it is something that you can kind of look forward to in future episodes. We'll discuss that a little bit more. I had Joe Rich on our podcast a few episodes ago where we talked a little bit more about kundalini because he is a kundalini yoga teacher at the International Institute of Ayurveda. but the chakras themselves are strung along that Sushumna Nadi, and they'll often be referred to as like a string of pearls or a string of lotus flowers. And each chakra has its own number of petals, we will call them. And as the petals unfold or the chakra becomes into full energy, the person's consciousness also unfolds. So there's a lot of connection here to what's happening within the chakras and what's happening within the mind and our consciousness, our ability to live at a heightened state. But there's so many functions of these chakras. And we'll get into a few of those in just a moment. Now, physically, the chakras are comparative to the nerve plexus. When we have our nerves in the body, on the physical body, these are something you could see if you were to open up the physical body, remove the skin, you could see these nerves, right? They run down the spinal cord and then they go out into the peripheral nerves, into the different organs, and also into the limbs, the arms and legs. So if we were to look at these nerves, they have little centers where they kind of come and bundle together along the spine. And that's something you can study from a Western anatomical point of view. It's something that's been verified from a physical, I can see it and touch it way. But these chakras are comparative to these nerve plexus. So if you look at where these chakras are actually lining up along the Sushumna Nadi, they are in areas where there is a high concentration of nerves and where there is a nerve plexus or a nerve bundle, which is amazing, right? Because these plexus of nerves are able to communicate throughout the entire body. So when we look on a subtle level, these chakras are able to communicate throughout the entire body as well. At the site of every chakra, except for the seventh, the crown chakra, at the site of all of the other six chakras, there is an associated nerve plexus, which is kind of cool. And at some of them, there is more than one nerve plexus, or there's a really important endocrine gland. Endocrine glands create hormones. They secrete hormones into the body. And so these chakras affect the functioning of the nerve plexus and of the endocrine system. Because remember, everything has to be created subtly first in the subtle body, and that's where the chakras and the nadis exist, and then it's manifest in the physical body. So if we're having endocrine disorders, it would be wise to look at, well, what chakra is involved in that area so we can maybe work on opening that chakra or creating a little more balance within that chakra space. So chakras store energy. They store pranic energy. We hear about prana a lot. We'll talk about prana a little bit in a moment. And it stores this energy to be able to circulate it throughout the subtle body. Some people tend to think of then, well, we just need to pump out energy from these chakras. That's what their job is. But they do a whole lot more. They deal with the vibrational frequency. Each chakra has its own vibrational frequency. And each chakra has an energetic connection to the nadis and the subtle and physical body. So we're seeing that these chakras are kind of a link in a way between that physical and that subtle body. Now, they're always functioning. They're always doing something. But when they're just in their ordinary state, right, just the average person in the ordinary state, they circulate pretty low frequency prana. They're not sending a whole lot of high vibrational frequency. But when we do practices such as working on Kundalini yoga to get the Kundalini to rise, when we're doing meditation, when we're working on mantra, when we do breath practice, all of those things bring us into a heightened state of consciousness. And it opens up those chakras so that the energy can flow through them smoothly. Now, when we talk about the chakras revolving, you might have heard that a chakra spins like the wheel. We're looking at the frequency. We're looking at the cycles per second, so how quickly it's turning or how quickly it's revolving. When Kundalini energy rises, when our consciousness is getting increased, it comes into contact with the chakras. And often people will describe this as increasing the frequency of rotation, but usually they only talk about two speeds. Either we're in ordinary frequency, which is a lower vibrational frequency, or a heightened frequency where it's rotating a lot quicker. But there is the possibility that over time, the speed is gradually increasing. So it's not just one or the other. It can be a gradual change in the frequency over time as you continue to work on expanding your consciousness. I personally like that idea because I think it takes it from I'm either enlightened or I'm not. And I prefer to think that I'm somewhere on the spectrum working towards becoming enlightened and living in a higher state of consciousness than it being all or nothing, black or white. So I go with that school of thought a little bit more. We've mentioned in the past the gunas, the way that your mind operates, and those are sattvic, rajasic and tamasic, if you remember. So sattvic is that higher state of consciousness, whereas rajasic is more of that like movement. You're kind of moving through the mind a lot. It's a little bit more turbulent. And tamasic is that lethargy, that darkness, kind of that inert state. So the vibrational frequency of the chakras really closely relates to the guna that is dominant in your mind. If you're in more of a sattvic state, you're going to have more heightened prana or heightened movement of the chakra. The rotation is going to be faster. The vibrational frequency will be higher. If you're in more of a tamasic state, there could be blockages in the chakras. Perhaps they're moving really slowly. You don't have energy flowing through. There's that inertia. And rajasic, there could be movement there, but it's not at a heightened state. That'd be more of like an ordinary prana that's moving through. So once a person is born and how you live your life, the things that you're learning, what you're doing with your time, how you're trying to grow and evolve, that alters the frequency of vibration. You could be born in more of a tamasic state simply because of the environment that you're growing up in, but as you continue to work, progress, evolve, learn, grow, then you become more sattvic over time. And so you see that vibration increase. And I personally really enjoy that kind of that analogy of I can move through the different gunas. And as the gunas change in the mind, so does the chakra vibration. So you could work on the gunas or you could work on just focusing on the chakras and working on keeping that energy moving and flowing. So when you're doing things like I mentioned, like your pranayama practice, your breath practice, you're chanting mantra, you're using meditation, prayer, you're able to increase the frequency. It's like you're living at a higher vibration state. And the chakras, the functioning of the chakras are based on the quantity and the quality of the prana that moves through them. Prana is highly related to the chakras. So we'll get into what prana is because that helps you to understand it. But some practices that you do will increase the prana and it'll increase the speed of the pranic motion. And when this occurs, you might have a heightened perception, but it can be a little too much sometimes for the mind and the body. This would be if somebody goes and they have a kundalini awakening moment, but they're just not prepared for it. Their body and mind isn't strong enough yet, and it can actually lead to like psychosis. So we want to be careful with that. But usually when you have this increase in that pranic energy, it's just the ordinary function of the chakra that's increased. And this would be if you're using stimulants or overstimulation of the senses. You might be bringing in a lot more prana, but it doesn't mean that you're becoming more conscious. It just means you're overstimulating. There's a lot going on, so the movement has increased. But the quality of the prana increases through purification and by focusing on living more sattvic. We can do this through the practices that we do. We can do this through the diet that we're eating. The way that we function in life, if we're going from a more sattvic state where it's very much about purity and about living at a higher state of awareness, and you know when you're in a sattvic state versus a rajasic state. Sattva is all about that peace and that calm, and the mind is still. There's no disturbances, there's none of the worry and the anxiety. And I listen to myself saying this and think, oh my gosh, that's a hard state to be in, right? I think most of the time we fluctuate around in rajasic just because that's where our minds tend to go. This type of world that we live in, there's so little quiet and space and peace. We tend to be jumping around all the time. And I know that when I'm getting ready for an event or going on a trip or I have a project coming up, my mind tends to want to jump and it's hard to stay in that sattvic state. So it's taking time out for those practices, for the pranayama, meditation and mantra, and the consistency is important. I can't tell you how many people I meet with that I ask them about their meditation practice and they'll say, oh yeah, I meditate. And I'm like, oh great, tell me about it. Share with me, what is your practice? What does it look like? How does it feel for you? And then they reveal that, you know, they meditate maybe once a week for like 15 minutes and they're really not very focused while they're doing it. And I just tell them, wow, what a great starting place. We're going to work from there. But we have to see that the consistency, doing this daily, sometimes multiple times a day, is where we're going to increase that consciousness and get that heightened prana, that heightened energy moving through our bodies. So that's really, really important. Okay, so now we have identified what the chakras are. I know there's a lot more information we could go into with every chakra, with the bija mantras, with the color, with the energy in them, the elements, but we're not going to do that today. We're going to talk about prana. Because we are focusing on increasing the prana and heightening the prana, right? Moving from ordinary towards heightened prana in order to open up the chakras properly, we probably should know what prana is, right? Probably would be helpful if we could identify better what prana is. Prana is defined in many different ways. It's a term that takes on different meanings depending on the context. And so we just want to understand that at a basic level, prana means life force or breath. That is why pranayama practice, breath practice, is so important, because it focuses specifically on managing and manipulating prana. Prana has all the qualities of the air element. And so when we look at the air element, it's cold, it's mobile, it's light. So that's what prana is like. But it shows up differently in the different bodies. So we've talked a lot about the physical body and the subtle body. We also have that causal or karmic body, which is comparative to, say, the soul. But when we look in the physical body, prana shows up as vata. It's the force of vata. And within that physical body, prana separates into the 5 subdoshas of vata. I did a whole podcast episode about that, so you can go back and listen. But these 5 subdoshas, they govern our physical existence. Vata has so much to do with the way that our body functions and the energy that circulates through the nervous system, through the blood, through the mind and the thoughts, the way that our hormones are released. So vata is how prana shows up in the physical body. Okay, so you can think of it as a comparison there. And it exists in every cell and in every part of the body. It is your life energy. When you're in a yoga practice and they'll say, breathe in, and you're drawing in prana, that's that life force energy that you're drawing into your body. Now, on a subtle level, prana exists a little bit different. So here it's similar to the general term of vata, but it's focusing on the mind. Okay, so we have the physical body and its vata and how it governs the physical processes. Then we have the subtle body and the mind, and prana in there is also related to vata, but it's vata on a subtle level in the mind. So it's responsible for moving and coordinating your thoughts. When it's really healthy, your thoughts will move at a moderate pace. They're very coordinated. You're able to think clearly. You're not being pulled all around and distracted all the time. So anytime that you get caught in distraction or disjointed thoughts, you know that your prana is not healthy, right? We need to work on prana in that case. So if the thoughts are clear, you're going to have a good recall, your memory will be good, and you'll have the ability to organize your thoughts. You'll see this when someone is speaking. If they have too much pranic energy and it's not organized, they're going to be all over the place, right? They might skip topics, they move around, they have a hard time focusing on one thing at a time. You'll just watch how they communicate is a really good indicator of prana and what's going on within the mind. You can also think of prana in the subtle body as a current of energy. Think of it like electricity. And it's moving through the nadis, those 3 channels we talked about, the Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna, particularly Sushumna because it is governed by air, where it picks up the elemental energies that are used to form the doshas in the physical body. So think of it as this energy is moving up the nadis. It's picking up these elements that it's going to need. It's pulling in the earth and the water and the air and the fire, all these energies that it needs, and it uses those to form doshas in the physical body. This is how we relate the fact that the subtle body creates first and then it manifests in the physical body. So it truly is important that we manage our thoughts, what's going on in the mind, because that will manifest what's happening on the outside. It's important that we understand that distinction. And then we also have that causal body or the karmic body. This is the force that motivates life. When prana is functioning normally in this way, a person's going to feel a healthy desire for life. You're going to have an excitement for the day that's not over the top, right? It's just a pleasant, contented excitement. There's joy in being alive. And this is where the field of consciousness lives, is within this causal body. What's really cool is there's an actual physical space within the body where you can see this causal body prana living, and it's that crown chakra, the Sahasra Padma chakra. So when we look at the chakra lines, we know, okay, the causal body prana is being held in that crown. I think that's just beautiful for us to understand that. If we were to do a summary of what a healthy, balanced prana looks like, it would be equanimity. You're not overly excited, but you're also not depressed. You have a very nice balanced emotion. This is something I ask my clients about a lot, of their emotions, like their emotional balance. Do you have excessive depression? Are you excessively excited? Is it kind of a bipolar up and down emotion, or are you feeling a little more emotional balance? This doesn't mean that we're flat emotionally. You definitely still feel the joy. You still feel the misery, but you're able to stay balanced through it and not attached to it. So I talk about this a lot because I struggle with it. Anything I talk about a lot, you know, it's something I'm working on, like improving. I think that's how most teachers are, is we teach what we know or what we're working towards. So there is a healthy enthusiasm for life within this balanced prana, but it's not frenetic. It's not hyper. You know, when you see a bunch of kids and they've had a whole lot of chocolate and they're so excited, that hyper excitement is different. This is just a modest, healthy enthusiasm for life. The mind is working very steady and organized. Thoughts are not too quick or too slow. So you have just a good steady stream of thoughts when you need them. The mind is revealed in the breath. So if you look at the breath, you can tell so much about what's going on in your mind. If it's deep and full and calm, that is a reflection of what's happening within your mind. And that is why when I would get upset as a kid, my mom would always tell me, all right, take some deep, slow breaths and it will calm you down. I never understood why that would be impactful, but it was almost like I was oxygenating my brain again. And that's what I believed at the time. And that's why I could think better. Now I realize it is a form of oxygenation, but it's more of a prana. I'm bringing prana in and allowing my body to calm down, right? So everything's kind of more balanced in that way. And the state of your mind can also be revealed through how you're speaking. So if you have a calm mind, you'll have calm speech and it will be joyful. There won't be a lot of negativity. There won't be a lot of complaining. When your prana is in a healthy, balanced state, you speak words of peace. You speak words of kindness, and they're balanced, right? You're not volatile in what you're saying. You're not having outbursts of anger. You're not having excessive chatter. It's almost like you say what needs to be said. You're present in the moment. There's joy there, and there's a lot of positivity, which I think being around someone when they're in that state is just lovely. You can tell that those are the people you're kind of drawn to because they make you feel so good after you've been with them because they've found balance. So the real question, what do we do with this information? I can tell you what I've been doing and what I've been recommending with my clients. Just knowing this information is a really great place to start. Understanding that these chakras do exist within your body, that they relate to the physical body, and that using prana or your breath and an awareness of what prana actually is can really help you. It can help you to find that balance through the chakras, find that balanced energy. So that's the first step, is just knowing, right? There's some old saying from when I was a kid that just comes to mind of knowing is half the battle. So if we can just know this information, that helps. The next step is to start noticing. Look at the definition for a healthy, balanced prana and see, where do you fall within that? Are you finding yourself spinning a lot in anxiety? That's a sign that there is excess prana going on, right? Do you find that you're worrying a lot? That's a prana imbalance. Do you find that you have a lot of rapid speech, that you're not focused mentally or in the speech, that you have a lot of confusion? Are you having insomnia, worry, your head's in the clouds, you have irregular shallow breathing, right? You might even forget to breathe sometimes. Those are all signs of an unbalanced prana. And prana is interesting because it's not like the physical doshas where we have a set level we're trying to get to. We're actually trying to balance it with the other subtle doshas of tejas and ojas. And we can get into those in separate episodes. But for this, you can just know, okay, if I'm experiencing these things, I have unbalanced prana, I'm going to deepen my breath. That's the next step. Okay, so first is having awareness. Second step is recognizing the symptoms that you're experiencing that may show that you have unbalanced prana. And then that third step is to start to focus on your breath first. So we're going to start slowing down the breath. We're going to have deep, soft belly breaths. You can choose a pranayama practice that will help to balance you. I think starting with alternate nostril is always the simplest and the most effective because it is working directly with the three nadis, with the Ida, Pingala, and Shushumna. So starting with a breath practice of alternate nostril, that would be a good thing to do every single day. And then we get to move into some a little bit deeper practices of meditation. Notice all of these therapies are subtle therapies because we're dealing with a subtle imbalance. So while it's a beautiful thing to eat food to balance vata, which is the physical dosha that matches up with prana, it's not going to have a real direct impact on prana. We have to take it to the subtle level. These are the things that we get no accolades for. When you eat healthy, your body tones up, you feel more balanced in your body, you have good bowel movements, you're sleeping good, so you see immediate benefits and reasons to keep going. Subtle therapies take longer. They're a little bit more work, and they take a little more commitment. So when you're ready to move into those spaces, that's where we start to be serious about meditation, and we're practicing it once, twice a day, sometimes even more. And that's when we start to integrate mantra practice, right? Where we work with mantras and chanting and listening to the sounds of mantras. I think it's just fun. I think working with the subtle body is really fun. I think there's so much room for us to learn within that space. And so I'm excited that you were able to join me and listen to a little bit of teaching about the chakras. If you have any questions or comments, I love it when you reach out. You can do that through Instagram or through Facebook Messenger. I'm at Ayurveda Life School. And so any of the social media platforms, reach out. Let me know what you're thinking. If you have ideas for future episodes, I'm always interested in that as well. And so as we wrap up here today, just remember that what you create subtly is manifesting physically. So if you want a physical manifestation or physical result, work on the subtle body, work on the subtle parts that need to change or shift in order to achieve that physical manifestation. So, so important. And if you have not received your free starter kit, I have one just waiting for you with your name on it. If you just want to order it, I will send it to you. You can order a free starter kit at ayurvedalifeschool.com/free starter kit. And it includes a tongue scraper and mala beads, digital tutorial videos, and lots of resources for you. So please go on, order that, and please join the 28-day immersion. This is an awesome program. I really worked a lot on creating something that is applicable, that is useful for you, that guides you through 28 days of implementing Ayurveda in your life. And it's such a simple way to find habits that work for you and start to shift. You can find out more at ayurvedalifeschool.com/ayurvedaimmersion. Go have a beautiful week. Enjoy your life. Celebrate the moments and work on that subtle body. We'll talk to you next week. Namaste. Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at ayurvedalifeschool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.